Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And tonight, a special roundtable discussion on Bigfoot. We've got some heavy hitter guests for you. As a matter of fact, they are experts in their own field. Lorne Coleman, cryptozoologist. He knows what he's talking about on Bigfoot and other subjects. He'll be our guest for the entire program, as will Tom Biscardi, of course. Tom's had just a tremendous background in the search for Bigfoot. His website, greatamericanbigfoot.com. They're all linked up. All these websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com right now. And then also we'll bring in this hour Jimmy Chilcutt. Now I'll introduce all of them in a minute. But first, Danny Fryer from Los Angeles sends us a song he wrote. Bigfootblues.com is his website. I thought you'd get a kick out of this.
Well, I still believe in Bigfoot, don't care what they say. Still believe in apple pie in the good old USA. I still believe in Bigfoot, don't care what they say. Still believe in apple pie in the good old USA. Now they claim it was a hoax by a wild old fool, that those 16-inch footprints carved with an iron tool. We all saw the movie of a Bigfoot mama struck, bouncing past the camera just like Dolly Parton. Well, if it was a hoax, then I want back my $5. I swear, night in the woods I've heard them Bigfoot holler. I still believe in Bigfoot, don't care what they say. Still believe in apple pie in the good old USA. Well, Grandpa saw Bigfoot driving out one Christmas night. Stopped him right there in the road like a deer in the headlights. Grandpa pulled his shotgun down off the double rack. Grandpa said, now, dearie, put that shotgun back. He said, Bigfoot still roll free. They just don't take to being wild. Hell, you would too, maybe, if you called you a Sasquatch. Don't care what they say. Still believe in apple pie in the good old USA. Bigfoot isn't dead, he's just been laying low. Bigfoot is not, he's not the abominable snow. My grandma thinks he is. Now it ain't nice to say it, but this ain't so different. They thought they caught Bin Laden and he's still living. I stand behind the president against that mean old Saddam. If he came to Memphis, we'd blow him to kingdom come with Bin Laden. believe in Bigfoot, don't care what they say. Still believe in number five, the good old USA. I still believe in Bigfoot, don't care what they say. Still believe in number five, the good old USA.
And this is a feature story on the coasttocoastam.com website that Lex has posted. The Bigfoot video shot by a northern Manitoba man a few weeks ago will apparently now air on the American television show A Current Affair. That's Wednesday, by the way. That'll be tomorrow in some of your spots. It's already Wednesday in some others. A spokesperson for the syndicated show, which airs on selected Fox network stations, has confirmed that the video shot by the Norway house ferry operator Bobby Clark on April 16th will hit the airwaves on Wednesday. She would not say how much the show paid for the tape or how they acquired it. The segment will include interviews with Sasquatch experts who have seen the video. It was an exciting moment. I saw an intriguing entity that certainly appeared to be an ape-like human hybrid, said Franklin Rule, a Glendale, California-based Sasquatch researcher who watched the video on Friday. I'm most impressed with this tape. It's one more piece of evidence that these entities exist. It's not absolute proof, but it should be enough by a motivating factor, he went on to say, to encourage an expedition into northern Manitoba. Rule, who hosts the cable access TV show Mysteries from Beyond, the Other Dimension, said that although the footage was a bit blurry, the animal didn't move like a bear and had long arms below its knees. Said he was impressed with Clark's credibility and believed the tape to be legitimate, although even a clear video wouldn't be enough to convince people of Bigfoot's existence. When it's too sharp, people say it's fabricated. If it's too blurry, you can't decide what it is, he said. Lauren Coleman has been a researcher and writer investigating mysteries for 45 years. He is the leading researcher on the Bigfoot phenomenon and has written a new comprehensive study of its history, Bigfoot, the True Story of Apes in America. Coleman has more than 40 years of research into his book, which takes readers from the very first sightings of the creature up to the latest internet rumors and scientific studies. In the process, he introduces us to the fascinating world of cryptozoology, the study of hidden animals that is rapidly gaining popularity. He's our guest tonight at Coast to Coast. Hello, Lauren. How are you?
Okay. Hi, George.
Good. Good nice to have you with us on this panel tonight.
Yeah, it's good to say hi to all those truck drivers listening to us, too.
Absolutely. It's going to be an exciting night. Tom Biscardi has a long history as president and CEO of organizations in a wide range of businesses, including advertising, insurance, and marketing consultation. Tom began his Bigfoot research in 1967. His first company relating to Bigfoot research was Amazing Horizons Corporation. That was in 1971. And according to Biscardi's resume, he was the founder and expedition leader of the principal company responsible for the existence and documentation of the legendary creature called Bigfoot. Tom is back. He was with me in April on the 20th. Hi, Tom. How are you?
George, good evening. How are you?
Great. You're loaded with some more stories for me tonight?
It's amazing. You know, at the top of the hour there, when you were talking about Bobby Clark, we talked to him just yesterday.
Ooh, okay.
As a matter of fact, one of your producers and myself.
Excellent. Okay, stand by for that. And also this hour, Jimmy Chilcutt. He's not someone that most people would associate with unsubstantiated stories. 54 years old, Chilcutt is skeptical by nature. His job as a fingerprint technician at the Conroe Police Department requires hard-nosed judgments and painstaking attention to detail. He is highly regarded by agents of the FBI, the Drug Enforcement Administration, and state and local law enforcement agencies for his innovative techniques and ability to find fingerprints where others fail. But in doing what comes naturally, being careful and thorough, he ended up rocking his own skepticism about one of the most sensational tales that routinely show up in the tabloids, Bigfoot. We'll talk with Jimmy about that today, too. Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Good. Good to talk with you. And Tom, you and Lauren are sharing a phone line, just so you both know that. So when one is on, the other is also on the air. Lauren, let's start with you with regards to, first of all, this newest Bigfoot video, seeing that it's so current. And then I'd like to get a statement from you and just your overall views of Bigfoot. But what do you know, if anything, Lauren, about this video that apparently is going to air on A Current Affair on Wednesday?
Well, I think most of what we're getting, of course, until we see it, is through the media. What concerns me, of course, is that people are anticipating everything with this. the skeptics are anticipating it'll be fuzzy and grainy, and the true believers, as I would, you know, comment about them, would think that this is going to be the end proof. But here we have a tape of a creature that was 750 feet away. The Patterson Bigfoot was only 100 feet away, so we're already talking about problems of resolution. And so that does concern me. I think I'm very happy to hear that the initial investigators are finding some credibility to Bobby Clark. From everything I've read about him and heard about him, he sounds like, you know, just an ordinary person that had an extraordinary situation happen to me. So that's very compelling in my view.
All right, Tom, how about you? Your thoughts on Bobby Clark, like you said, you just talked to him, and this video.
Sure, George. I've been in contact with him for the last 10 days. He's become somewhat of a recluse due to the fact that this is all very new to him, and everybody and his brother's been trying to get to him. Langford Saunders, his uncle, who is the Cree Nation at the Norway House, he's one of the elders there. I guess him and the attorney negotiated the whole deal for him due to the fact that Bobby kind of like took a powder. He was just out of it. He just couldn't take it any longer. People bothering him and saying hoax or saying it was, you know, was it the real deal or what have you, and people offering him all kinds of money and everything else. And the reason why he talked with me is because he knows what I went through, you know, 30 years ago, what he's going through now. So I had experienced the same thing that he had, walked in his shoes.
Any idea how much your current affair paid for this
video?
Yeah,
it was in six figures. He didn't get it. The Norway House got the money. It cost him $15,000 to enhance the footage.
Yeah.
And Lauren is right. You know, it was far away. It's not like the Patterson's film, you know, 100 to 150 yards. It was a big, bulky, hairy creature. And this guy down in Los Angeles, supposedly, who has seen it through Current Affair, states that he thinks that it's one of the creatures. You know, he's giving them some kind of validity. But like Lauren says, you know, either it's too fuzzy where the skeptic's going to say, hey, it's a hoax, or it's too clean or pristine and they're going to say it's a hoax. So, you know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
All right, before we bring Jimmy in to chat a little bit about some of his stories and his background, Lauren, just a very brief statement from you with regards to your interest in Bigfoot, how it started, and where do you think it's taking you?
Well, I'm very open to there being cryptids, there being unknown creatures around the world. I think that we just saw, in a very exciting way, the ivory-billed woodpecker being rediscovered in Arkansas after supposedly being extinct for 60 years. And I really see that Bigfoot around the world, and, you know, as people call it, the discovery of the hobbits in Flores and Indonesia really gives us new hope. We're in a time where all of the old hoaxes and the claims that Roger Patterson was doing it all for money and things like that are kind of fading into the background again, and that's good because it really allows us to, in an open-minded way, to explore and search for these creatures that certainly hundreds of people around the country have seen and found their footprints, and there's something going on here. I think that's the bottom line. There's something going on. 20% of the reports, I think, are very valid and show us that there's some unknown animals, some bipedal primates out there in the woods.
Tom, how about you? Your interest in Bigfoot?
Well, my interest has been for a long time, since 67, as you know yourself, George.
Right.
I don't think I'll ever rest until we actually bring back concrete evidence, okay? You know, there's these anthropologists that are out there. There's, of course, Lauren is out there. He's been there for the longest time. Never had a chance to meet the gentleman, but he sounds like he knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and I read some of his work. I might add that the book that he has out called Bigfoot, you know, The True Story of the Apes in America, mm-hmm. I find it very, very amusing. He's done a heck of a job on that. And by the way, is he a PhD, by the way?
No.
No.
You're
master's.
Not, Lauren?
No, master's.
Okay, yeah.
Well, that's a terminal degree.
Okay.
Can't call him a doctor, Tom.
Well, nevertheless, He's kind of right in my eyes when he says that, you know, the hoaxers are kind of in the background now and the real deal is coming out to the forefront. And that's the reason why I've come out of in the backgrounds, come forward now to let the people know how close we really are. As a matter of fact, since our sighting that we've had on the 5th of April last month, my guys are out in the brush, you know, on a 24/7 basis, as you know.
Well, and I love your theory, Tom, about them possibly living deep in caves and then coming out whenever they want to.
It's unbelievable, George, and I don't know if Lauren has experienced this about the subway caves, and I call them the lava tubes up there in the Lassen area. And are you aware of that, Lauren?
Yeah, and you see some of the same things going on in the Appalachia area in old broken down cabins and the caves out there too.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tom, a little bit later on, I'm going to bring Jimmy in now, but a little bit later on, we ran out of time when you were with me the first hour in April, and we were talking, I'd asked you the question about had anybody been attacked or harmed or anything with Bigfoot. You said two cases, and we really only got into the one where the individual was picked up in his sleeping bag. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah. So, before you go there, George, I want to bring this up real quickly. Lauren, were you aware back in the circa of August of 72, that the United States Department of Agriculture, the Forest Service, up in the Lassen area on the Subway Caves Trail, on the back part of the brochure, it stated that the Hat Creek Indians up in that area, they believed that the caves were inhabited by an evil creature that was described as an hairy ape.
Well, that's a great story.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I was aware, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we'll talk about that. Okay, Jimmy, tell us a little bit about your interest in Bigfoot. I mean, here you are. You're a hard-nosed fingerprint technician. How'd you get involved in Bigfoot?
Well, first, let me update on you that. I am retired. I just retired this year.
Oh, well, congratulations. I hope you enjoy your retirement. But knowing you, you're going to work anyway. You're going to do something.
Yeah. Well, it started several years ago in 1999 when I watched Dr. Jeff Meldrum do a documentary on Bigfoot. And being not only a human fingerprint expert, but also a primate fingerprint expert, when I heard him talk about dermal ridges on the cast, then that perked my interest, and I arranged with him for me to come up to Idaho State University in Pocatello and actually examine his castings. And so that's when I discovered the dermal ridges on several of the castings.
You know, when you were with us in October of a couple of years ago, we were beginning to talk about these ridges. Did what you saw change your mind? You were a little skeptical about this. Did it change your views?
Well, sure. It and not only the dermal ridges that I saw, and because I made the statement, you know, if these are in fact dermal ridges, which they had all the characteristics of dermal ridges, the ending ridges, bifurcations, and but they weren't quite like humans, and they weren't quite like the primates that I've studied also. So, you know, then that indicated that this was a species in and of itself. Now, I might want to mention, bring you up to date, just recently.
Please, yeah.
There's a man in Seattle, Washington, by the name of Matt Crawley. He's actually replicated those dermal ridges in the lab, in which you would call dermal artifacts or ridge artifacts, and actually just in the pouring of the cast, he has created the dermal ridges like I've seen, which is, you know, makes you wonder, you know, are these actual dermal ridges, or are they actual ridge artifacts?
If they...
Like,
yeah, go ahead, Lauren.
Are you saying perhaps fakes?
Not fakes. I don't think, because the classic cast that I examined was taken by John Green. And John Green, actually, another thing that authenticates the realness of this is John said that I've actually talked to John Green, and he said that before he poured that cast, he could actually see the ridges in the footprint before he cast it. So that's
right.
That's another thing that indicates to me that these are authentic friction ridges. And because Matt Crowley has replicated them, that doesn't necessarily mean they're not.
Okay.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to open up the dialogue with our three guests this hour, and Jimmy will stay with us this hour. The next hour, J.E. Smokey Crabtree joins us. Lauren and Tom will stay with us for the entire program tonight. Then later on, we'll also open up the phone lines. Perhaps you will share some of your stories with us. Just what is this creature that so many people have been spotted over the years that they see all over the place, walking across the road, by houses? Strange screams in the woods. We'll be back.
Get daily automatic MP3 downloads of tonight's show and every night show with the new Coast to Coast AM podcast. Log on to coasttocoastam.com. City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And with our very special guest tonight, with our roundtable discussion on Bigfoot, maybe we're going to get some more answers tonight before it's all over. Lauren, Tom, and Jimmy, I don't know if you had a chance to get up to the coasttocoastam.com website, but over there on email pictures, there's a picture of a Bigfoot in Idaho, and I wanted to get your take on it sometime tonight on whether you think that looks authentic or not. Lauren, is there a problem with forgery with computer graphics the way they are now?
Oh, I think that Photoshop and all of those kinds of things are certainly making it very difficult. That's why some of the older films are more interesting. Oh, I see that photograph there on your site.
Yeah, what do you think of it?
I think it looks pretty much like a fake. Shares a Bigfoot video still. I'd like to see the whole video. It almost looks like a cartoon. It has a certain feel to it,
yeah.
Like it was a drawing that was then enhanced through video. So that's I think that's why Jimmy's study of these older casts are really important, because we're finding many more important things in some of the older material that's not been faked and not been, enhanced through computers or through technological means. And that's what's quite interesting about looking at some of the 18th century and 19th century reports of these creatures, too.
Let's open up the discussion to all three of you, and we'll just sit back and chat a little bit. Tom, are you frustrated that we haven't really found a Bigfoot yet?
Well, of course. As long as I've been in the industry, since 67, and a lot of the many years that have passed on a full-time basis, but it's just not, we just can't go to the yellow pages, George, and say to the operator, well, where's Bigfoot going to be tonight? We'd like to go see him. It's a tough situation, and the problem that at hand right now is that there's a lot of people out there that believes in this so-called myth, and then there's the people that don't, and it makes it kind of tough. But like Lauren said, a lot of those doubters and hoaxes, they're gone. They're on the back, the back burners now. And what's happened is stuff that we just did in April 5th that just came out, and incidentally, it just substantiates the migrational route that we talked about on last time on your show. One of my assistants come up and says, Tom, in the Bigfoot Alive in 82 movie that we did when we filmed one of the creatures back in 1982, it was April 5th, announced to me.
Same time period.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So it just substantiates the migrational period of this time of the year, okay, of the season. But to answer your question, I think that we're getting very close. George,
and what do you mean by that? Are we honing in on where they're living? Is that what you mean by close?
When I tell you that we're getting close, is because my trackers that I get out in the brush now, especially the Hickman brothers, Lee and Jimmy, these guys, they were reared on this stuff, okay? And they're out there 24/7. They're out, you talk about Manitoba, about Bobby Clark.
Yeah.
It's 30 degrees below zero where this guy is.
And they're out there looking for things.
Okay. Now, no. Contraire. This is Indian reservation property, okay?
Oh.
They've forbidden anybody to go out in that area.
Okay.
Okay? Nobody is allowed up there, or else we would have been there already. And I've got a relationship with Bobby Clark, okay? But because of the Cree Nation, the Norway House, they've closed it off for any investigation. And you got to understand, with these are aboriginals up in that area. It's just like the Bushmen up in Alaska. These creatures are very close, or the aboriginals or the natives, the Indians, are very close to these myths and these legends. They worship them like gods. I don't know. Are you aware of that, Lauren?
Yeah, I'm part Cherokee. I'm very aware of it.
Well, then he knows. Okay.
He knows.
Yeah. And by the way, I wanted to cap on what Jimmy said. And he's probably one of the sharpest guys that's come down the pike in a long time, a forensic specialist here. Jimmy, when you were talking about the thermal ridges?
Yes.
You were talking about north and south ridges, right? Up and down?
Right.
Instead
yeah, the
across,
ridges,
east and west?
The ridges that run along the side of the foot, yes.
Correct. Because the reason why I say that is John Green is probably one of the most respected guys in this field. He authored a bunch of books, too. Years ago, I talked to the man. I don't even know if he's still alive. If he is, God bless him.
Yes, he is.
Is he?
The last I heard, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A great man in the field, okay? But what you had said, Lauren, you brought it right to the front. Examining some of these casts from a long time ago, it's just like Grover Krantz. He took, remember the Bossberg footage?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you remember where he did the anatomy of the crippled one?
Yes.
The reconstructure of the bone structure?
Right.
Okay. Well, that went all over the world, and I do believe that it's in the Smithsonian at the present time. Did you know that?
Well, I know that after Grover died, he donated a lot of his material, and different people have at different places, yes.
Right. Well, that's the problem, though, today, Lauren. A lot of the people who are out in the brush don't get credit for what's happened. And these guys that come along that's got PhDs and are scholars, they come along and they take this stuff. And years ago, I'm going to be so bold to say they stole a lot of stuff from people because we were some of those people, okay? I can talk from firsthand information. And it bothers me, okay, that here are these armchair quarterback Bigfoot hunters, okay, or aficionados, come out of the woodwork, and they're the experts all of a sudden. And I'm excluding you, Lauren, because, A, I don't know you, and the work that I've seen you done here in print, I'm very impressed. But me and my gang, my people that are out there 24/7, don't really get the credit that's expected. And I don't care, because we know what we got, we know what we're doing, and our contributions are going to be set forth in the museum that we're putting together right now that we've collected over the last 40 years.
What's going to be in the museum, Tom?
Oh, we've got, first of all, we've got the only hand casts that have been made of one of these bipeds, of one of these primates.
Pretty big hand, I guess.
Okay.
Huh?
Well, we got three of them. Okay. And as a matter of fact, Grover Krantz did the anatomy of the structure of it in one of them, and we have his dossier on the whole thing. And Dr. Warren Cook, the anthropologist out of Castleton State University, who was authenticated our stuff, was never released because he died, and we just kind of stayed in the back trenches, and I didn't want to come back out in the front anymore due to the fact of I was tired of the commercialism, all these people going out and making all this money off of everything else that everybody else found, and these so-called experts, okay? But I'm telling
you now. I don't think anybody's really, I mean, maybe the Bobby Clarks of the world are getting licensing fees, but I really see that it's, you know, one of the problems in the field is the feuding, the East versus West, the academics versus the field people. A lot of the field people grow up and become academics and become experts and become writers. And I think that, you know, to go on and on about, I think you've done a lot of work. I think that a lot of people have done a lot of work. And there's various collections around the country. But it's because of the feuding, because of the, you know, what some people in a dismissive way call the weekend warriors versus the armchair scientist, that it's really, in many ways, slows down the progress to really combine a united front against our common enemy, which is all of the skeptics and all of the academics that are disking us all the time.
Is it that competitive, Warren?
Oh, it's definitely competitive. I think we're seeing a little of it in Tom, and I understand that point of view, and I really respect it. And I think that, you know, anybody that doesn't know me and doesn't know that I was in the field for 20 years before I started writing, you know, sometimes I get thrown into the academic, and, you know, on some shows I'm called Dr. Coleman, which I'm just a common, ordinary guy that has anthropology background and a master's and 45 years of doing the work, just like everybody else. But, you know, what I compare it to is the mountain gorilla was discovered in 60 years through well-funded research of a united front of people looking for it. And instead, a Bigfoot research, Bigfoot field work in this country is really a bunch of regional people that are very interested in their own part of the pie.
Their own agenda, sure.
That's important. That's important, but it also gets in the way of you know, cooperation and sharing information.
Are there any universities at all that are contributing to the curriculum about Bigfoot or planning expeditions, anything like that, anything on an organized level?
Well, Coleman used to do that when Krantz was alive that I knew of.
Yeah, I mean, I've given courses. Krantz gave courses. You know, there's courses here and there, but it doesn't have, you know, there's a community college at in Florida that is in West Key West, Florida State Community College is trying to give a whole curriculum for the first one in the country on cryptozoology, but nothing like that in terms of Bigfoot. It's very much still on the outside of academia. And yet people do come along and put down the researchers.
Do you find that there's still a lot of fascination and interest with Bigfoot? Or is it dying? Because I remember seeing a History Channel or a Discovery Channel special of these four old Bigfoot researchers as they die off. I think two or three of them are dead right now.
Yeah, Sasquatch Odyssey, that was an important documentary supported by the Canadian government. And I think what's happening is that the interest in cryptozoology and Bigfoot is bigger than it ever has before, and it's a gateway.
I totally agree with that.
Gateway subject to people getting involved in natural history, environment, and wildlife studies. And yesterday's children are tomorrow's academics, and you're finding more and more professors in anthropology, you know, like Jeff Meldrum, who are growing up more or less believing or being open-minded to Bigfoot, and then now they're really investigating it. I think it's a really good time.
Let's chat very briefly with Jimmy, because we're going to lose him in about 10 minutes. And then I want to get in with you, Tom, and you, Lauren, about the evidence and some of the sightings that people are having. And then, of course, later on tonight, we'll open up the phone lines and see if people can share some stories with us. Jimmy, have you come away from this now believing that there's some kind of a creature out there? I'm not going to pin you down on what you think it might be. It's not fair. We don't have that kind of evidence from you. But are you convinced there's something out there?
Yes, I am, and one of the things that I wanted to tell Lauren and Tom is that I deal, even though I'm a curator for the BFRO, I deal with all the Bigfoot research organizations. They send me things to look at, to examine. And my part in this whole scheme of things is the cheerleader. You know, I'm out here saying that, yes, the evidence does indicate that there is a primate animal out there, but the things that I say are not going to affect the skeptics, because they're always going to be skeptics until we actually bring the body. So I'm kind of a cheerleader cheering these guys on and keeping the interest up that, hey, there is an animal out there. You guys are the ones that need to get out there and document or do a live capture or get some better documentation of them.
Hear, hear. So, that's very true.
Oh, yeah. I think Jimmy's been a great addition to the whole field.
Now, let me ask you, just give me a yes or no on this. Do you believe, Lorne, that this creature, whatever it may be, is more human than animal?
Well, as I say in my book, humans are animals, and we forget that we're primates. We're the naked ape. I think that the Bigfoot, the classic Bigfoot, is more hominid, is more human-like than anthropoid, ape-like.
That's pretty dramatic, I think. How about you, Tom?
Well, you know, I believe what Dr. Warren Cook, his analogy of the thing is, when he talked about the Australopithecus boisei and Gigantopithecus.
Yeah. And how about you, Jimmy? You think it could be more toward intelligent than ape-like?
I think the evidence indicates that he is more human-like than non-human primate-like.
Now, do any of the three of you believe that this is some kind of dimensional being? We've heard those theories before.
You do, George.
No, I don't.
I don't. Oh, you don't?
No, I think it's I think it's really physical.
Oh, okay. Well, you always ask the question like you're disappointed when I say, no, I think it's a physical creature.
How about you, Tom?
I've got mixed feelings on that, okay? I've interviewed so many people throughout the years, George and Lauren and Jimmy, that I've got tapes where I was down there in the area by you guys, by Griffith Park, where there was some sightings.
Oh, sure.
And there was sightings of supposedly a family of four, and they were being tracked up in the hills up there, and it was a full moon situation, and the guy stated to me that with a blink of an eye, they had gone, crossed over this boulder, and they were gone, like somebody from another world beamed them up. So, you know, I've heard stories like that, like all over the place. I'm sure Lauren has also.
Yeah, I think that they have a means of intelligence, you know, even the ninja art of vanishing. I think there's something going on that they have, certain abilities that we have not even fathomed yet. I don't think that they're interdimensional. I just think that they're very evolved in a way that humans arrogantly think that they can't be.
That's a good point, Lauren. Maybe more evolved than we ever have thought we were.
Exactly. They may use telepathy across mountaintops in a way that we have not really dug into in our own personalities.
Jimmy, with you being part of the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, what's out there in terms of hard evidence that people can begin to assimilate and say, hey, you know, we've got something here?
Well, the hard scientific evidence is the hair they have, the dermal ridges on the castings, the scat that has been found and analyzed. And every time, this is what's real curious to me, every time they analyze the hair, you know, they indicate, well, it's a primate, but it's an unknown primate, so they can't categorize it. So the results are always inconclusive. Well, sure, it's going to be inconclusive because we don't have a definitive, a body that we can use for a standard.
That's a good point. So if you had a human hair then, and let's say an ape hair,
mm-hmm.
Scientists could very easily determine this is from a human, this is from an ape.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, most definitely.
So with these kinds of hairs, then, they're a little puzzled.
Yeah, until we pull one off the body and say this came from this animal laying here, then we know from there on, you know, we can tell from another animal just like it.
Is this creature in North America the same as what we hear about from, you know, the abominable snowman, the Yeti, and things in Australia and things all around the planet? Are we talking about one entity,
yeah,
or are we talking about a whole bunch of different kinds?
Can I answer that real quick?
Yeah.
And this is just in my opinion.
Sure.
From the dermal ridges that I've examined, the ones in California, the ridge flow pattern and the texture match the one in Washington, which also matches the one in southern Georgia, in Elkins Creek, Georgia. And from my study of primates, you know that all monkeys, no matter where in the world you find them, have the same ridge pattern, or the same type of
right.
ridge pattern, okay, which are different from great apes.
So I guess, though, what you're saying, though, Jimmy, is this creature could be the same throughout this entire
yes,
planet.
Yes, I think the creature is the same. Now, he may look a little different, or just like monkeys, they may... But
right.
I think they're of the same species.
Okay, very good. And you two believe that too, Lauren and Tom?
No, I think there's all kinds of different species.
You do,
and they
okay.
look similar. They're hairy. I have a quick question for Jimmy before he leaves, if I can get it.
Sure, out. 1 minute. Go ahead.
How can we as researchers help you move the dermal ridge research along, Jimmy?
Well, get out there and get samples. We need some good samples, a cast with dermal ridges. You know,
okay.
Because here's what the deal is. Matthew Crawley, Matt Crawley from Seattle, has sending me little coupons of lab experiments that he's done that show that you can actually get ridge artifacts by pouring. Now that's in a lab situation. So, and I've poured hundreds of casts and never got that. Chris Murphy from Vancouver has poured lots of casts and never got that. Neither has Jeff. So. But it can be done.
So what are you actually saying here, Jimmy? Next day we're going to be finding out that there's going to be hundreds of prints all over the place. They're all going to be bogus?
Well, there's not 100 prints out there. I can tell you that right now.
All right, Jimmy, thanks. I want to thank you, Jimmy. We're out of time this hour and appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll get you back on Coast to Coast. Thanks,
okay.
Jimmy.
Right.
And we'll be back, of course. Tom Biscardi stays with us. Lauren Coleman stays with us for the entire program, and we're bringing in a new player here, J.E. Smokey Crabtree, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM as our roundtable discussion on Bigfoot continues.
Want to time travel? Go back to past shows on Streamlink. Sign up online at coasttocoastam.com.